It is very interesting that on this feast of St. Agatha, one of the great martyrs, virgin martyrs of the church, we should have this gospel about marriage, because she was neither intending nor was married. So, I don't know. Even in the traditional rite, I think the monks who put the liturgy together oftentimes had a little bit too much wine at lunch, and then they made all kinds of mistakes. And they're still here. That's why Archbishop Lefebvre told me when I was a teenager and went to visit him that there was a lot that needed to be done to the Mass and to the liturgy, but not what they have done. Now, who knows if ever it shall be done. But I would suppose that that would be one of the things, that the readings don't always coagulate with the feast. But the feast of today is a very beautiful feast. She is in the canon of the Mass at the second set of saints, and she was a great hero of the church in her day. Now, she was martyred in the year 254, and she was just a teenage girl. She was very beautiful already, and the prefect of Palermo, where she lived in Sicily, set her eyes upon her. And she had vowed, whether with permission or knowledge of her parents or not, she had vowed perpetual virginity to Christ. She belonged to Christ. And so the thing is, when he came to her, she told him that, and he did not like it at all. You know, they say, there's nothing like a woman scorned. Well, I hate to tell you, a man scorned is not less dangerous and not less evil. And this guy was very scorned, and he took it personally, and nothing to do with him. She belonged to Christ. So he tried and tried and tried, and so finally he had her arrested as a Christian and tortured. The most horrible, gruesome tortures. She was put on a hot bed, and hot plates were put upon her, that all of it would have hurt tremendously, but that did not deter her from her purpose. Then he had hooks, and her flesh was torn up and down with the hooks, and she was bleeding everywhere, but nothing deterred her. And finally, she had the guards take a sword or something and cut off her breasts, which must have been extremely painful. And so at that, she still did not die, and she still did not give in. So he had her put in the dungeon, and lo and behold, in the middle of the night, a man, a very mysterious man, appears to her. Of course, it was not one of the pagans. And so he identifies himself as Saint Peter the Apostle. And he tells her, and he touches her, and immediately she is healed. And that which was removed is renewed. And of course, in the morning, when they saw her, they thought she had witchcraft. And so all the more reason to kill her. So it is interesting that pagans, like the Romans, should have such hatred of witchcraft, when what they really are doing is nothing more than satanic worship anyway. But they did. That's the way things are. And so St. Agatha was tortured some more, and then put in the jail, in her cell, where she died, and she was a martyr for the faith. It immediately became known. Today, there are great celebrations in Palermo with the giant towers with the statue of St. Agatha on the top and many saints all the way, and the men of the city carry these towers all over the city in procession, and wonderful and joyful songs are sung in her honor. And so today, though we do not do that, nevertheless, we honor her with this holy sacrifice of the Mass with all our heart and soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody's been messing around with